Fix your eyes on Jesus. The term Jesus means the Lord is salvation. The Lord, the great I Am, is the one who saves. Our God who became like us, who lived the perfect life, who entrusted himself to the Father, who lived the life of faith perfectly from start to finish.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the passage we're considering is familiar to many of us. And for those facing hard times today, this is an encouraging portion of Scripture.
You know, Dave, indeed it is. And we're going to see today how it is that the Lord enables us so that we can endure the difficulties of this life. You see, this Christian life is metaphorically described as a race. So how then can we run this race with endurance? Our passage is Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
We don't take what God says seriously about his word. We don't take it seriously at times. And so here, when we doubt his word and thus God, then we are entangled. We cannot run that race. And this term entangled speaks of something that is cleverly placed around something. It means to exert tight control, to control tightly. The sin that so easily entangles us, that exerts tight control on us so easily, is unbelief. When we do not believe what God has said concerning, we don't believe. He says, don't be worried. We worry. We don't believe the consequences of sin. We don't believe that if we actually trust in him, we pray and with supplication and thanksgiving, he will protect our hearts and minds. If I don't believe that, that's unbelief. It's entangling me. And I can take so many different passages and apply that. When I don't believe that I should be truly, essence, loving my wife or loving your husband, whatever it might be, when I don't effectively apply that in my heart, I think I can just get away with not doing that, I'm entangled. The reality is we need to obey the Lord and believe his word. And when I don't believe his word, I'm not going to obey him. Now, I may believe it, but I don't believe it, right? So then, the sin that so easily or cleverly places itself around us, set it aside. Confess it, because we will all fail. We will all fail. We're not there yet. But when you find yourself not, in essence, believing what God has said, confess. He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is so gracious. So we are to, first of all, like they did, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. So how are we to run this race that the Lord puts before us victoriously? We've got to be in the right race. We need to recall the testimony of previous victors. They believed, they obeyed, they endured. We need to run with faith, believing what God has said, setting aside obstacles to trusting in Jesus, confessing the sin of unbelief when we are entangled. And then notice we need to run with endurance. Back to chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. We'll talk about that all day, right? And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The term endurance means to remain under. It speaks of perseverance. It means enduring. And he says, let us run with endurance. You see, the point he makes in chapter 11, as we'll see here, is that faith produces endurance. So when I trust the Lord, I'm going to endure. So run with endurance. Run, as we will see, fixing your eyes on Jesus and trusting him, and you're going to endure. Run with endurance. Let us do. Set aside these things and let us run with endurance. Let us run in a way that is characterized by endurance. Now, how do we gain endurance? Well, we need to know and recognize and believe the truth of Scripture and trust in the God of the truth. You see, the testing or the proving of our faith produces that endurance. I need to understand that when I'm tested, when my faith is being demonstrated. Romans chapter 5, turn there. Romans chapter 5, we've seen this in our Bible study. Speaking of Christ, verse 2, through whom we have received our induction by faith into this grace in which we stand, marvelous. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God, marvelous again, right? And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing, and you need to know it. See, when I believe God's word that I'm going to endure, knowing that tribulation brings about, and this is perseverance, means hupomone, it means endurance. Tribulation brings about perseverance. You see, for the believer, what's really wonderful is when you trust Jesus in the context of difficulty, you will persevere because God is faithful. And so when you know that, that's an encouragement. It's an encouragement because tribulation brings about perseverance. When I trust Jesus, I'm going to persevere. And when I trust in the midst of tribulation, I'm going to persevere. We're going to see that. It brings about or it demonstrates it. James 1:2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith or the proving of your faith produces endurance. You see, when you trust Jesus and that faith is proven, you endure. When that faith is proven genuine, the result is endurance. It's about faith in Jesus, folks. The endurance comes on the backside. You will endure. So run with endurance, setting aside those obstacles to faith, confessing when we don't trust. When you trust Jesus, you will endure because Jesus is faithful. He's faithful. It's not up to you to endure. It's up to Him, and He's faithful. Trust Jesus. And how many believers fail at this point? When things get tough in the good fight of faith, believers squeeze out from under the difficulties, pulling their eyes off Jesus, stop trusting Him, and guess what? You don't endure. Remember Peter? Peter is asked to come out, walk in the water to Jesus, and he does. And then seeing the wind and the waves, he began to sink. He got his eyes off of Jesus. He began to sink. We're going to see we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Trust in Him. Are there any areas where you are sinking in your trials you're not enduring? Turn to Jesus. Trust in Him. Believe what He has said. Trust in Him and you are going to endure. It's going to be proven. Your faith will be proven when you trust Jesus. So how can we run the race that the Lord puts before us victoriously? Run the right race, recalling the testimony of previous victors. Run with faith, setting aside obstacles to trusting in Jesus and believing His word. Confess unbelief. Run, letting faith bring about its result, endurance. And then notice, as we finish this passage, we are to run with focus on Jesus alone. We are to consider Him. We're to consider Him and His work on the cross so that we would not grow weary and lose heart. Verse 1 again, chapter 12, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus, as we'll see, the beginning and the end of faith, the author and finisher, the one who made it to the end. The one in whom you trust, you will make it to the end too. The perfect example of trust and victory in the context of God's will and ways. He says here, notice, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He could have said the Lord, he could have said Christ, he says Jesus. Jesus is His human name. You see, God the Son took on human flesh. He became like us, born of a woman. He lived the perfect life. He understands the sin of this world, not from being a sinner, but from experiencing it in His own creation. He understands the difficulties. He understands temptation in humanity like we do. We see that He took on human flesh. He dwelt among us. He learned obedience from the things He suffered. He was a faithful high priest. He loved us and bore our sins in His body on the cross. And He died for us and rose from the dead, bringing once for all forgiveness. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The term Jesus means the Lord is salvation. The Lord, the great I Am, is the one who saves. And you shall name him Jesus, the angel told Joseph, for he shall save his people from their sins. Name him Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, our God who became like us, who lived the perfect life, who entrusted himself to the Father, who lived the life of faith perfectly from start to finish. Keep your eyes on him and you will endure to the end. Notice what he says, fixing our eyes. The term comes from the Greek athorao. It literally means looking away from something to fix your eyes on something. And so often we don't look away from what we're focused on, right? We need to fix our eyes on Jesus to the exclusion of the other stuff. You got relational problems, get your eyes off of those and fix your eyes on Jesus. You got financial problems, get your eyes off of that, fix your eyes on Jesus. And maybe if it's out of sin, obey, trust the Lord, right? Do the right thing, but fix your eyes on Jesus. You got problems? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off of those problems. If you don't do that, you're going to sink. You're not going to run the race well. You're going to fail. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Looking unto him with undivided attention. I'm going to look at him. What am I going to look at? What am I going to look at? What aspects should I fix my eyes concerning him? Well, throughout the Word, we see that the Word focuses on Jesus Christ. Jesus shared in Luke chapter 24 that the things that were written about him, it is focused on him. I have no doubt of the intensity of the storms in your life, but I know one thing for sure. If you make a deliberate choice to turn away from them, if you have to confess sin, the things that are entangled, whatever it is, do that, and focus on Christ, you will endure. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Well, how do I do that? Notice he says, Jesus, and he explains something. The author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on the person of Jesus Christ and what he did. We fix our eyes on him in the context of prayer through the teaching of the Word of God, the complete revelation of him. We fix our eyes on Jesus through the truth. What things do you hold on in your mind? What things do you run over and over again about in your mind? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Turn away from those things. We don't ignore them, but we see them through the right perspective as we fix our eyes on Jesus. Practical ways to fix our eyes on Jesus. What was the early church devoted to? The apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. Show me someone that's not faithfully around the body of Christ, I will show you someone who's not fixed on Jesus, to be honest with you. You'll say, well, I love Jesus, but that will be manifest in the desire to serve him and be around his people. What wife would believe a husband who proclaims his love for her but never is around? It's not love, right? So then, we are to fix our eyes. And I say, show me someone who's not hypocritically focused on the Word, but truly focused on the Lord through his Word, prayer, and his people, and I'll show you someone fixing their eyes in Jesus. So what are we to fix our eyes? What does the author direct us to look at? Notice as we finish, he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. The term author, archagos, speaks of one who goes first on the path, hence a leader or a trailblazer, initiator. The term completer or perfecter comes from the word teleos. It speaks of finishers or someone who completes, brings something to a conclusion. He is the one who shows us the perfect picture of faith from start to finish. You want to know what faith looks like? Look at Jesus. God in human flesh did not hold on to his prerogative of deity, but he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross. He kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. He had all his own power at his avail, but he didn't use that. We have none of our own power at our avail. But we too, like Christ, when we see him as he is and we exemplify what he has done by trusting in him, we see that he is faithful and that we too will finish. He is the author and perfecter, finisher of faith. One pastor writes about this. He says, Jesus in his humanity has gone before us and kept the faith. He knows the need for it. He himself ran the race. He laid aside every weight, every tie, family and friends. He set his face against the popular sin of unbelief and daily lived in patient perseverance, trusting his Father to work out everything. He set the perfect example. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And notice what else he says. The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of glory. He had an eternal perspective that helped him in the context. He believed the truth. He walked by faith. Amazing thing. God in human flesh walked by faith. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He remained under the suffering of the shameful cross. He endured it. You see, Jesus, being fully God and fully man, went through the greatest trial any man could go through. Yes, people have been crucified, people died, but no one has ever left his exalted heavenly state, being God, to enter the sinful state of his creation, to leave the perfect holiness and sphere of God, to enter into the sinful sphere of man yet without sin, to relinquish his divine prerogative and walk by obedient faith, doing the Father's will, to be put to death on a cross, to bear the sins of the world, the Holy Son of God bearing our sin on the cross. No one has suffered shamefully like this, but he remained under. He remained under. He trusted from start to finish. And the example is, we need to trust from start to finish. And the way we do so is by fixing our eyes on Jesus. And notice, he talks about this, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy, again, this word exposed to view on public display. But what was that joy? Well, certainly bringing many sons to glory, salvation that would come through the work that he would do for the Father on our behalf, Hebrews 2:10. But it was also to be set back in his rightful place of glory. John 17:4, Jesus says, I've glorified thee on earth, have accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify me together with thyself, Father, with the glory with which I had before the world was. Hebrews 2:9, 10, but we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering and death, crowned with glory and honor. One last passage, Philippians 2:8. As being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, this is what happened, because for the joy set before him, therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The prize was clearly in focus, bringing many sons to glory and bringing glory to God through his work forever and ever. The joy set before him. The prize was in focus. See, we need to get the prize in focus. The prize of eternity with our Lord in the context of his glorious truth that he has revealed for those who run the race with endurance, who fight the good fight of faith to the end. Yes, if you trust in Christ, you'll all be saved, but eternity is going to be much different for different people based on those rewards for what you did in the body, if you trusted the Lord or not, for the joy set before. And how was it that Jesus, God in human flesh, endured to the end? We see in 1 Peter 2, and I don't have time to read it, but I'm going to share it with you. He kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. That's our example. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look at what he did. He trusted to the end. And what happened through what he did brought about our salvation. For the joy set before him, he did it for us and for his glory. And when we trust the Lord, he brings about what he has planned for us for all eternity, for his glory, forever and ever. And notice, he completed the race victoriously and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our Savior made it. And how did he make it? By faith, enduring. You're going to make it too, by faith in Jesus Christ. We see that. He made it, and we are in him, and we will make it. It's very encouraging. Verse 3, and we're out of time, but let's just finish up. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Hey, he went through a living hell, right? To the point where they crucified him, right? Such hostility. Consider him. The term consider means to think carefully. Think logically about Jesus. Think carefully and logically about Jesus. He endured such hostility. against himself. He endured. He made it to the end. And if you're in him, you're going to make it to the end. Consider Jesus, the author and perfecter. You're going to make it. Think carefully. When's the last time you thought carefully and logically about what Jesus went through on your behalf? Focus on that. Stop focusing on your troubles, on yourself. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider Jesus. And here's the reason why. So that you may not grow weary and lose heart. I guarantee if you're growing weary and losing heart, your faith is faltering in some aspect because you're not focused on Jesus Christ. May not grow weary and lose heart. The term grow weary means to have a sick soul, to have a soul that's sick. Losing heart speaks of basically becoming faint, exhausted, giving up, being deeply discouraged. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider him and what he went through and endured. Much worse than what you're going through. And he endured, and you're in him. He's going to get you through. Consider Jesus. So what advice do I have for you? Consider Jesus. Think about him clearly and logically. He endured such hostility by sinners against himself for the joy set before him, which is our salvation and his eternal glory. He's our example. Trust him. Look unto him, and we too will be victorious. So how do we run the race of this life victoriously, the spiritual race that the Lord has put us in? Just that, run the right race. Look at and recall the victory of previous runners. Look at the scriptures. All over the place we see examples of those who trusted and endured to the end. Look at them. Set aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles and run the race with endurance. Obey the Lord. Trust him. And then keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. So let me ask you today, are you in the race? Is your life consistent with someone who is running the race of faith? Maybe you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, and God is gracious. He loves you. Trust in him. Believe that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. He'll forgive you. You'll be forgiven, and he will start the process of making you like Jesus, which is eternally wonderful. And then you're on that race. Trust in Jesus. Focus on him. What about us believers? Are we running the race that's set before us? Are you in the race? Have you got sidetracked? Are you focused on something else? Does your daily life consist of that which is not what we just heard about? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Turn away from those things. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Set aside every encumbrance. Confess the sin. And run the race with endurance.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Today's message from the book of Hebrews is available to hear again online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. When you visit our website, you'll not only find today's broadcast, but a host of additional audio resources waiting there for you. As a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. This is made possible because of the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, how do we fix our eyes on Jesus when running this race of life?
You know, Dave, first of all, the way we fix our eyes on him is by turning our attention away from those things that are encumbering us, by confessing any sin or unbelief, and then turning to focus on Christ. And there's no better way to stay focused on Christ than to be in his word every day, reading, studying, memorizing, constantly soaking your heart with the truth of Scripture, renewing your mind. As the writer of Hebrews has reminded us, the Christian life is a race. And just like any physical race, we need to be clear about the goal, and we need to be clear about those things that might hinder us from running or finishing the race. Our passage in Hebrews has given us a snapshot of this entire race, and I hope this will encourage you to pick up the Word today and to focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.